a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home, it's here with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh, and there's a couple of words I wanna say. For the rest of my life, I'll be with you. I'll stay by your side, honest and true, to the end of my time. I'll be loving you for the rest of my life.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته
Now my name is Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, December 14, 2024, corresponding to the 12th of Jumada Thani, 1446 AH. Wow, we are in the sixth month of the Islamic calendar. And gradually, we are less than 3 months to the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives till then and beyond. Allahumma ameen. On this program, Everyday Muslim, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Today we shall be taking a look at something very, very important. We know quite well that a lot of times when people get married, one of the things they look up to is raising a child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, in Quran chapter 30 verse 21, Allah says, and among his signs is that he created for you wives from among yourselves, that you may find repose in them, and he has put in between you affection and mercy. Verily, in that are indeed signs for a people who reflect. And explaining the concept of mercy, scholars have made us understand that mercy in that particular verse refers to children as the fruit of the union. So inshallah, today we shall be discussing debunking myths, understanding infertility facts, debunking myths and understanding the facts about infertility. Infertility is something that a lot of people don't ever pray to witness, because imagine spending a lot looking up towards that time when you get married, and eventually you get married, and one of the things an average person that gets married hopes and wishes for is to have wonderful kids as fruit of that union. Now imagine probably after 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, nothing is coming, a whole lot of pressure on the family. What exactly is going on? Infertility, so for that reason, inshallah, today we shall be discussing the myths and some of the facts surrounding infertility. And to take us through this, our guest here today is Dr. Fahaduddin Olabisi Kekereekun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sir.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, for those of us that are meeting Dr. Kekereekun for the first time, he's a medical doctor and is a Lagos-based general medical practitioner of over 2 decades, in clinical experience. He has worked both in the private and public health sector, with most of his practice in the field of pediatrics. So he understands what it entails when talk about having children and issues surrounding children. So you're welcome once again, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. We know quite well this is not the first time we are discussing infertility on this program. Probably for a starter, I would want you to probably tell us what exactly do we mean by infertility, and what are some of the common misconceptions, you know, people have about infertility.
Yeah, thank you very much. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, wa nashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. In medicine, infertility is a very wide area, and it's a highly specialized area too. It's under the specialty of obstetrics and gynecology. Apart from that, we still have fertility experts who are just some of the specialists amongst the obstetricians and gynecologists. But I mean, seeing infertility patients starts from the grassroots, you know, from the primary healthcare level. So they have to meet a lot of general practitioners, you know, and our own duty is to help to diagnose, because a lot of the cases of infertility are misdiagnosed.
Wow.
So we need to diagnose to be able to differentiate those who have frank infertility and those who just have a problem of, I mean, early miscarriages and need to know what to do about it and be able to conceive and carry the conception to term.
Okay.
So infertility is the inability to conceive after a whole year of regular unprotected sexual intercourse, like 3 to 4 times in a week, and both partners live together and have regular intercourse, and one of the partners travel away from the other for a long period of time, especially covering the ovulation period, where when most of the pregnancies occur. And despite this regular intercourse for a whole year, there is no pregnancy. That's when we start to think of infertility. We start to think of investigating the patient, you know, for the causes of infertility, and then whatever we find, we start treatment accordingly. But what we have discovered is that a lot of the patients are misdiagnosed as cases of infertility, that is, having inability to conceive, whereas most of them, a lot of them, at least from what our experience with a lot of Muslim couples, is that most of them, they have been conceiving, but they've been losing the pregnancy very early, most times within a week or less than 10 days of pregnancy.
Allah.
And most times, during this short period, there's no obvious pregnancy symptoms. Most women believe that they are pregnant when they start to feel nausea and vomiting. And a lot of times, nausea and vomiting doesn't come till the second, third week of pregnancy. You know, and when they get pregnant and they are suspecting, they go for an early test, the urine pregnancy test or the blood pregnancy test. And we have discovered over time that most of these pregnancy tests give a false negative result in the first week of pregnancy.
Wow.
So when they are feeling some symptoms and they suspect pregnancy, the result of the test comes out negative, which makes them to believe that there's no pregnancy. This is because the test is trying to detect the level of pregnancy hormone in the urine or in the blood. And because the pregnancy just started, the level is still just about trace. So it's still very low.
So until, not easily detected.
Yeah, until the pregnancy gets to third to fourth week before, I mean, there's a definitive positive result. But most of these early miscarriages occur within the first week.
Okay.
Or less than the first 2 weeks of pregnancy. So we need to know what are those very early signs, symptoms of pregnancy, which most women, they miss. Though they experience them, they know that they experience them, but they do not have any idea that they are early signs of pregnancy.
Wow. So how can they easily detect them?
So we need to increase the sensitization, the orientation, the awareness
that about these early symptoms.
Now, the first one is that a woman will miss her period.
Okay.
If she's used to seeing her period before she got married, about, let's say, 25 days of menstrual cycle, When that 25th day arrives, she will not see any period. This is because she got pregnant some days before that. You know, if some days after that she sees bleeding, it is not a period that came late. It is most likely a miscarriage, an early miscarriage. You know, there's reason for this kind of early miscarriages, you know, those who have weak implantation, which we'll talk about much later, and those who end up having this early miscarriage. So this is the first early sign you miss your period. So when a woman misses her period, she starts to think maybe there's irregular menstruation. She can't just get married and immediately
she starts having irregular
menstruation that has been regular for months and years, all of a sudden just becomes irregular. You know, the bleeding that she's seeing is actually not menstruation. It is the bleeding of miscarriage. Another misconception, a very big one, is that a lot of women think whatever bleeding they see monthly is always menstrual blood. But a lot of times, a lot of women, some are just miscarriage bleeding, you know, because they are losing the pregnancies every month. Virtually every month, there's ovulation, when the egg is released, and most pregnancies occur during ovulation period. And then some days after that, due to the weak implantation, the woman has an early miscarriage, you know, and she's thinking it is menstrual period. So that's number one. Number two, there will be generalized undue weakness and tiredness in the woman. This is a very obvious sign. So women do have fainting spells, you know. This is a very important sign that they are pregnant, especially after sleeping for like 7 hours till morning. In the morning, you're supposed to be hale and hearty, strong, agile. But she wakes up, she's still on the bed, she feels very weak and tired. She feels sleepy, she feels she should get some more rest. So when there's this easy fatigability, it is due to pregnancy. And then when they try to force themselves to get up instead of to rest more, they may develop headache, dizziness, body aches, or feverish feeling. So this is a sign that they are pregnant. Number three, they start to feel what we call hot flushes or hot flashes, internal heat. They'll be feeling hot inside them. So as I'm describing this, most women who have been pregnant before or several times, they know these are the things they feel, but they did not know that they're due to pregnancy. So start to feel very hot inside. Then on the outside, externally too, from head to toe, the whole body will be very warm, equally warm. Well, and the husband feeling this body, we know that there's obvious change in the temperature. We'll be asking her, why is your body hot like this? What's happening? This is due to pregnancy, even though most of them don't know. You know. So number four, they notice that they go to urinate more frequently. The urination becomes more urgent and frequent. When they have the urge, they are so pressed, they cannot hold it, they have to rush down. Then after a very short while, the same thing occurs, even though they don't pass much urine after the first or second time. But they keep having that urge to urinate. Some of them think it may be due to infection. It's not infection. It's pregnancy. It's a pregnancy hormone that is increasing in the urine that is irritating the neck of the bladder. That once the neck of the bladder is open. So this is due to pregnancy. Then number five, they start to notice pimples or rashes on the face. Or they just notice the face skin is rough. You know, or sometimes small boils on the face, in the armpit, in different parts of the body. So when they start to notice these changes, it is also due to pregnancy. Actually, some women misconstrue some of these early signs of pregnancy to be signs that they are about to have their menses, because most of those who have this and they don't continue their pregnancy, they have an early miscarriage, which occurs about a week after. So that early miscarriage, which they have been misconstrued to be
the
menses, makes them to think those early signs of pregnancy are actually
the sign
of menstruation, which is not true. So they start to notice pimples, rashes, you know, and then it will clear off when the pregnancy comes down about a week's time. And then the next month, during the ovulation period, when they get pregnant again, these pimples and rashes start to come up again. So this one is also due to pregnancy. Then the very obvious and most, you know, significant one that most women always feel is the breast symptoms. they'll notice there's engorgement, enlargement of the breasts. The breasts will be firm and full, and it will feel heavy, and it will become tender. Any slight touch will give pain. Even if their dress touches the nipple, there will be nipple pain. So when they have this sensitivity in the breast and increase in the size, it's due to pregnancy. But unfortunately, a lot of women think it is a sign that their menses is coming. But if you ask them, did they used to feel this before they got married? They'll say no. Which is an obvious sign that it's a sign of pregnancy. You know. And the last one is they start to notice whitish discharge, whitish or creamy discharge. Usually for a woman who carries pregnancy for 9 months, know that the whitish or creamy discharge is something synonymous with pregnancy. But with these people with early miscarriages, when they get pregnant immediately, they start to notice whitish discharge, and then after a few days, the whitish discharge will subside and stop because they've already lost the pregnancy.
Oh.
So these are the very early signs that we need to sensitize people and let them be aware of it so that they'll be armed, you know, equipped with this information, and they'll be able to also suspect pregnancy when they get pregnant.
So how then can they easily differentiate or distinguish between, the menstrual bleeding and the bleeding from a miscarriage?
Yes, a lot of times women have miscarriage bleeding and they are thinking it is their menses. Like I said earlier on, it's not all monthly bleeding that is menstruation. You know, and what confuses women more is because those bleedings come roughly every month, about monthly occurrence. And this is because most women ovulate every month. So the pregnancies occur every month around that ovulation period, and it is lost usually about a week after that. So the miscarriage bleeding too is roughly regular. Though it is not as regular as the menstrual one.
Okay.
So what are the obvious differences? Number one, she will notice that the menses come on the day of the cycle. Like I gave an example of 25th day of the cycle. But if the bleeding comes few days before that or few days after that, it's most likely a miscarriage bleeding.
Okay.
Women wrongly think it is, my menses came early this month. Or I said, my menses came a bit late. It was delayed. These menses that never used to come early or late for months and years before you got married couldn't just start, you know. Your system didn't just change because you got married. It's because something happened. A pregnancy has occurred. So when you have the menses, because it will not come at a fixed time, it is when the woman is stressed, and that stress affects the weak implantation, then the implantation gives way and there's a miscarriage.
Okay.
So if that stress is before the date of the expected menses, we have the bleeding some days before the expected date of menses. And if the stress is after the expected date of menses, one would have missed the period on that 25th, which is the expected date of menses, which signifies pregnancy. Then some days after that, if there's bleeding, definitely one is having miscarriage bleeding. Then the other
difference
is that the kind of pain they feel when they see the bleeding. For menstrual bleeding, it's either they don't feel pain at all or very mild, or there's this generalized abdominal pain, which is mild, mild abdominal pain. The woman feels it all over the abdomen because it is caused by when the wall of the uterus, the wall is shedding, you know, when there's ovulation and there's no fertilization.
Okay.
The menstruation is occurring. So because it's the whole wall of the uterus that is shedding, the pain is generalized and mild.
The abdomen.
But when it comes to miscarriage bleeding, something that most women notice this pain from the time they got married, you know, they never used to have it like that. The pain is localized in the lower abdomen to one side, usually to the left side. In some people, it may be to the left side. Right side, because it depends on where the pregnancy is implanted in the uterus. And it is, you know, because the uterus is in the lower abdomen, she will feel the sharp pain in her lower abdomen. The pain will be intense.
Allah Akbar.
You know, when she feels this pain, it grips her, it takes all her concentration because it's severe pain. and the pain radiates to her lower back, to her waist at the back.
Wow.
And the pain is sustained at the back. So a lot of women complain of severe back pain, excruciating back pain. When the pain starts, she has to leave everything she's doing. Mm. And the pain does not subside immediately.
Mm.
It stays on for some time.
Wow.
And this pain goes into the thigh too. And she feels some colicky pain around the navel too. So whenever she's having this pain, and it is severe in the lower abdomen, at the lower back, waist area, going to the thigh, it means she's having a miscarriage if there's bleeding.
Mm.
Menses is usually generalized and very mild.
Mm.
So when the pain is severe, localized in the lower abdomen, on the right or on the left, and it stays in the back, in the waist area in the back, it is a miscarriage bleeding she's having. Then sometimes this pain will start gradually. There's no bleeding yet. You know, she notices there's pain in the lower abdomen, and it is starting to develop in the lower back, in the waist. This is a warning signal that this woman is about to have a miscarriage.
Wow.
She may not be aware that she's pregnant yet, but
okay.
If she has this information, you know,
she takes notice of it.
Yeah,
and
that when this, because what happens to a lot of them is that that is a warning signal that miscarriage is imminent, but they don't know.
Mm.
So they just say, I'm feeling some pain. Let me quickly finish what I'm doing so that I can go and rest.
Mm.
That is a problem. She's supposed to leave whatever she's doing.
At that moment.
To go and rest so that the pain can subside and the pregnancy is preserved.
Mm.
But because she's not aware that it's a warning signal that the pregnancy is at risk, the implantation is so weak, it's about to break off due to distress. So this is another difference, the nature of the pain.
Okay.
Number three, the flow. When it is menses, the menstrual flow is much and it is red. But when it comes to miscarriage bleeding, the flow is usually darker. And when it is not much darker, at least if it is early miscarriage, the woman will notice several small dark clots of blood in the bleeding. And this is something that a lot of women are noticing every month, and they are still thinking. Some say, "Oh, my menses got dirty. My menses developed some clots, and all that. I don't know why there's a changes." It's not menses; it is miscarriage bleeding. You know, and that's how it occurs in the early miscarriages. The late miscarriages, when the pregnancy is already about 5 weeks, 7 weeks, they used to have big clots, but these ones are small dark clots. You know, so when they see several. Dark clots or a bit, and the bleeding is also scanty. It's not as much as the normal menses. So when we see this dark flow or dark clots in the bleeding, then it's definitely miscarriage bleeding.
Okay.
Then the fourth difference is that usually menses bleeding stays for like 5 to 7 days, you know, but miscarriage bleeding, the number of days are reduced. 2-3 days at most.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
And someone has said, it came with the menses or the menstruation this month, in probably just a few days. Some people will now feel probably just came for some few days or whatsoever.
Yes, they'll think the menses, the number of the. Actually, what they will think is that for some months, you know, consecutively, their menstrual bleeding has reduced in number of days and in quantity. Not meaning that those ones are actually not menstrual bleeding.
All right. Okay, now looking at this, so what then are the causes of this, recurrent early miscarriages, and what steps can be taken to prevent them? Because I'm looking at it that sincerely, probably for those of us that are men, I'm sure listening to this, you're like, so women go through a lot, sincerely. Women go through a lot, and I really think that we need to, you know, really appreciate them for their effort and for the sacrifices they make, sincerely. A lot of us don't know that these things happen like this. So for that reason, I'm asking, so what are some of the causes of these early miscarriages, and what steps can be taken to really prevent them?
Yeah, the early miscarriages, when women get pregnant, you know, there are two variants. Either the woman is the type that has strong implantation, or they have weak implantation. Those with strong implantation, in that early stage of the pregnancy, no matter how much they stress themselves, the pregnancy remains intact, you know, because implantation originally strong, you know, and can withstand stress. Yeah, but those with weak implantation, the implantation is so superficial, just on the surface of the wall of the uterus, is so fragile and delicate. Any little shaking to their body, the pregnancy is coming down. Any little activities, moving around the house, you know, doing some slight, light things that she takes for granted that is not much of a stress, but it is too much for that weak implantation. So it makes the pregnancy to come down. And this weak implantation is at its weakest just when the pregnancy has just started, meaning the first week. You know, the implantation gets stronger by the day, gets stronger by the week, and by the month.
Yeah.
So the implantation next week will be stronger than this week.
Okay.
So when the woman just got pregnant, the implantation is very, very weak for those who have weak implantation. So the very few activities that they engage in can easily lead to a miscarriage.
Okay.
So this is what is happening in a lot of cases without women being aware of it.
Mm. Okay. All right. Now, looking at what you have just said now, so are there medications that could be taken probably before conception or during pregnancy that could probably prevent these early miscarriages?
Number one, and perhaps the only, sure and remedy, is for the woman to observe what we call, total and complete bed rest, very strict bed rest.
Wow.
You know, and this bed rest must start even before she notices
the signs
of pregnancy. Why? Because if she's waiting to observe the early signs of pregnancy before starting the bed rest, most of the miscarriages occur right at the beginning, you know, when the implantation is at its weakest. So if she's waiting to see the signs of pregnancy, maybe assuming there was copulation last night and she got pregnant, you know, if she has planned to go out today, she's not yet looking out for early signs.
Mm.
She goes out, and the stress of going out up and down will affect the weak implantation and may easily lead to a miscarriage.
Okay.
So we advise them to start to observe bed rest while trying to conceive.
Mm.
So when there is copulation, she wakes up the next morning, she continues bed rest. It is during that bed rest period she'll notice, I'm resting and I'm feeling weak.
Mm.
I'm resting and I'm feeling internal heat.
Mm.
All my body is hot. I'm going to urinate more frequently while resting. I'm not drinking much. I'm going to urinate more frequently. All of a sudden, I'm noticing pimples or rashes on my face.
Mm.
I'm noticing whitish discharge while on rest. So it will be easy to note
that
the pregnancy has started. Then she will now intensify the bed rest. And at the same time, they have to stop having intercourse because the implantation is so weak that
any little exertion of
will easily lead to miscarriage.
Mm. Hmm. All right, thank you very much. Now, probably looking at
mentioned about like some drugs.
Yeah,
so this total and complete bed rest is very, very important. We can go into detail, but
the most effective
for us to.
Mm.
But we also recommend that they start to take folic acid, one tablet daily, because folic acid has a lot of good functions for the pregnant woman, but it even starts before the pregnancy starts because it helps to strengthen the weak implantation. You know, so somebody's on regular folic acid around the time that she got pregnant, the implantation is likely to be much better, you know, to be able to withstand stress better than somebody who is not on folic acid. But you don't say because you're on folic acid then you won't observe bed rest. Because if you have been noted to have weak implantation over the years, you've been having repeated early miscarriages, then you need to be on bed rest despite the folic acid that you're taking regularly. The folic acid will definitely help, but the bed rest will do most of the work.
Mm. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Wow.
And another drug, that is given by the specialists for miscarriages or to prevent miscarriages is Duphaston. But, you know, the miscarriages that reach the specialists are those that have gone far. The pregnancy has gone far, like up to a month, 5 weeks, 7 weeks, you know. So it's obvious that there's pregnancy, they are sure. You know, it's confirmed with everything, both the symptoms and in the tests and all that. So when such a person has been to see the specialist a number of times with miscarriages, they will place the patient on Duphaston. But most of these early miscarriages don't really get to the hospital because people don't even know, most
that
cases,
they are
that they are pregnant.
Mm.
So we need to prevent it as much as possible. If not, we'll be getting the miscarriage before we know that we're pregnant. Next time again, same thing over and over again. So we need to know the early signs of pregnancy and also know how to prevent it if we have been victims of early miscarriages before.
So there is a need for them to really, in terms of even knowledge, to know the difference between the early miscarriage and the menstrual bleeding. And at the same time, for someone who is actually suffering probably from infertility and all these early miscarriages, the strict bed rest thing, and I think that's the most effective, because at that point in time, before you even notice that you're pregnant, it is gone already.
Yes.
And that's usually pitiable. Well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help those who are, you know, in such conditions. So now, I feel like there is a need for us to like have a clear understanding of ovulation cycle. So how does the understanding of this ovulation cycle help couples trying to conceive?
Yeah, firstly, ovulation period is when the egg is released from the ovary, passes through the fallopian tube into the uterus. Most pregnancies occur during ovulation period. So it's very important for every couple to target ovulation period for intercourse so that most likely they will
be able
to conceive. Yeah. You know, because what happens outside ovulation period is that after the intercourse, the spermatozoids swim into the uterus, wandering around,
looking for
egg to fertilize. But there's no egg. When the ovulation period starts, egg is released into the into the uterus, and the egg is waiting for fertilization. So when there's intercourse around that time, the millions of spermatozoids swim into the uterus, move around, they meet the egg, and a very strong, viable spermatozoid will penetrate the capsule and fertilize the egg. So it is very important that a woman must know when she's ovulating. It's very important so that they can target that time. Pregnancies can occur outside ovulation period, but it's more automatic during ovulation period. So there are different ways. Some they use tracking device, some they calculate the ovulation period. But we always advise them to look out for the natural signs of ovulation. Now, when a woman is having the urge for intercourse, she's in the mood, usually it is her ovulation period. And then when she notices there's this flow of egg white mucus which flows right from inside the uterus down to the private part and gives her some wetness, unprovoked, unstimulated. You just notice you have wetness, automatic like that. It's in the ovulation period. Allah, in His infinite wisdom, has made it such that it is the time that He makes the woman's body, the ovary, to release egg into the uterus. It is the same time He puts in the body of the woman to have the urge to receive spermatozoids by wanting to have intercourse around that time. And it is at the same time He puts in the body of the woman this egg white mucus that gives some wetness. Because that wetness has two functions. Number one, it acts as lubrication for the intercourse. And when there's lubrication, the ejaculation occurs easily and spermatozoids are easily released to swim in the amniotes into the uterus to go and fertilize the egg that has been released. So that's the first function of that wetness. The second function of that wetness is that it acts as a form of sea or ocean through which the microscopic spermatozoid will swim up in the amniotes into the uterus. So it is easy for them to swim up. So when some people say they are having sperm leakage or what we Yoruba people call eda, it is insignificant. It is inconsequential. Why? Because immediately the man ejaculates, the healthy spermatozoids start to swim out of that semen. Upwards into the uterus. So when the semen that is left behind is going to flow out of the body of the woman, it will contain only maybe some dead spermatozoids or some very weak that are not motile, that cannot, but the millions that are strong enough would have swum out of that fluid and they'll be swimming inside that egg white mucus that lines the uterus, cervix, to the private part outside. So this is what happens during ovulation period. So we ask them to look out for the natural signs of ovulation. Once they notice that they are in the mood for intercourse and they notice that egg white, mucus, the wetness, they know that they are in their ovulation period. But there's another tendency that they already know that they are in the ovulation period. They feel, well, if this ovulation period is for 4 or 5 days, the woman is fertile at that time. So why don't we have intercourse every day of those 4 or 5 days? If they do that, they'll be making a mistake. Because after the first night of ovulation period, she may get pregnant. The next thing is not to just, ignore what could have happened and then have another intercourse. You know, she needs to look out for the early signs of pregnancy.
Within that period as well.
Yeah. Within the 24 hours after the meeting. Because if there are signs of pregnancy, that means a pregnancy with a very weak implantation has started. If they should go for another intercourse the next night or 2 nights, 3 nights after that, they're going to pull down that pregnancy. And that egg that was fertilized would have wasted.
Wow.
They have to wait for another month. So it's better to look out for the early signs of pregnancy. If for 24 hours you didn't notice any of the early signs of pregnancy that we have mentioned, then they can go ahead, because it means the egg is still waiting inside the uterus for fertilization. So they can go ahead and meet again. But if they notice one or two, she starts to feel weak already, she starts to go and urinate more frequently, she starts noticing pimples, miss pregnancy has started, the breast becomes sensitive, painful and all that, pregnancy has started, then they'll stop regular intercourse. And also she will now intensify the bed rest. She'll keep still, and avoid meeting. And it is preferred that the bed rest should cover the first trimester, because during the first trimester, the implantation is still relatively weak. So that is what we advise.
All right. Thank you very much. So you've been listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 FM. We'll go on a short break and return. The program continues. Please stay with us.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman, don't give in to shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin. وخالقنا ورازقنا وهو على كل شيء قدير. Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim, Allah is the one who loves the Muhsinin. He is our creator, He is our sustainer, and He is the one who has power over all.
All right, you're still on to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 FM. Today we are discussing debunking myths and understanding facts about infertility. And taking us through is Dr. Fuad Deen Olabisi Kikireakun, a Lagos-based general medical practitioner of over 2 decades of clinical experience. He has worked with both the public and private health sectors, with most of his practice in the field of pediatrics, and has been taking us through issues around infertility, early miscarriages, the confusion and the misconceptions people have, around early miscarriages, mistaking some of these signs with that of menstrual bleeding that women also experience, and some of the preventive measures that people can take to ensure that conception is protected and is not lost to miscarriage. So you can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000 917 917. Alternatively, you can call 091 55 917 917 091 55 917 917, and our toll free number for our women is 0800 235 917. I'll take that again. 0800 235 917. That's the toll free line for our women. And if you want to send a message via SMS or WhatsApp, you can send the message to 0703 175 6537. That is 0703 175 6537. We'd like to hear from you. Let us know. Probably you might even want to share an experience and probably advice for people, or if you have questions or comments that you want our guests to probably provide clarity on, please reach out to us. The WhatsApp line or SMS
For your message is 0703-175-6537. And the toll-free line for our women to call in is 0800-1235-917. And for every other person is 07000-917-917. Alternatively, 0915-5917-917. So you have the opportunity to be part of this program. All right. So, sir, now, looking at the fact that it's possible that people confuse early miscarriage with irregular menstruation. So what are the consequences of making this mistake, and how can increased awareness help prevent such mistakes?
And the consequence, the major one, is that when one is having early miscarriages, and is thinking, she's having irregular menses. Number one, she believes that she hasn't gotten pregnant before.
Okay.
So she's having that strong belief that she has infertility. Because frank infertility means inability to get pregnant. So she strongly believes she has a problem. And then she presents herself as somebody with infertility, inability to conceive, plus with irregular menstruation. And if she's subjected to treatment of irregular menstruation, she's first placed most likely on some contraceptive medications, which will first cease the ovulation for some time and also cease the menstruation, because if there's no ovulation, there cannot be menstruation. So for a few months, so that when they now resume the ovulation, it will become regular. Meanwhile, she wasn't having irregular menstruation. It was just miscarriages, early miscarriages that she was having. So she didn't need to take treatment for irregular menstruation. And the kind of treatment that they have even introduced will even prevent ovulation. But the most important aspect of fertility is ovulation for a woman. You understand? Now, if we stop the ovulation for some time, that compounds the problem. Because those who do that believe that the woman has infertility, not knowing that she doesn't have infertility. So the impression is that she presents herself as an infertility case, and they think she has some hormonal imbalance. That's why the menstruation is also irregular, and they think that the irregular menstruation has got something to do with the infertility. Mm. So they want to start to treat it appropriately, accordingly. Whereas this woman doesn't have irregular menstruation or infertility. Mm. She has just been getting pregnant and losing the pregnancy early. Mm. And the bleeding of the early miscarriages, she's misconstruing to be irregular menstruation. So if she's equipped with knowledge, then she will try to prevent the early miscarriages, the bleeding of early miscarriages, and observe the address so that when she conceives, the pregnancy can continue, instead of worrying about irregular menstruation and infertility.
Okay. All right. Now, how about understanding early signs of pregnancy? How does that enhance the couple's journey to conception? Because I know that for a lot of times, like you have said, now if people don't understand this, then it's a problem. So how does this understanding the early signs of pregnancy, so how does it enhance their journey to conceive?
You see, just like I mentioned earlier on, infertility is a very wide area in medicine, and it's highly specialized. The major parts, those who have frank infertility, the specialists are doing so much to help them, and when their problems are solved, it's like they are having a miracle baby. Including the technology that is used in the assisted reproduction, intrauterine insemination, in vitro fertilization, and the rest of it. These are very complex processes. With high precision technology and all that. So we general practitioners, we need to help with the early stages. It is the areas of specialization that needs referral that should be going to them, because they are too occupied with those intricate parts of infertility. And they are solving very complex problems with them. So they need to concentrate on that.
The pressure.
So we need to increase our sensitization, orientation, letting people be aware of how their body system works. You know, let them know when they feel this way, it means pregnancy. When they notice something like this, it means a miscarriage. You know, so that they themselves can help. When they self-awareness, they already suspect what is happening, then they can now seek medical help. I mean, giving the correct account of what they are experiencing, how it happened, and what they think is happening, and then seeking solution on what to do about it. Or if they are not sure, what we, advise them to do is, whatever you notice, reach out to your general GP, your general practitioner, so that I can give you a breakdown of what is happening and what it means and what you should do about it, so that we don't just, you know, give a wrong interpretation of what we are going through and then start running helter-skelter as infertility patient. Because once one is labeled with infertility, they run a series of tests on the patient, and then whatever is found in the test, positive findings, they will start to place the patient on the treatment. And in some cases, some things may be found, but that doesn't mean that the woman has infertility. You know, she may still be getting pregnant and have hormonal imbalance. You know, and she's still getting pregnant. Or a lot of cases of low sperm count, oligospermia, or even zero count, azoospermia. We found when we interviewed a lot of couples that those with some of those with that result, their wives have been getting pregnant. So it's not a sentence that there's a compound problem that hasn't gotten solution. If we try to find out the early signs of pregnancy, the person may not even
have issues. Need,
So, but if all these early signs are not, we don't make them common knowledge, it will continue to be difficult for people to know what is happening to their body very early in pregnancy.
All right. So how then can we also help families? Because I know quite well that when it comes to your infertility, the challenge and the pressure, you know, is usually on the women. And a lot of times, you know, you see families, in-laws coming around, some putting pressure, abusing, harassing the wife, it is you, and things like that. So is it only on the side of the woman that this issue of infertility, you know, could probably result from? Because probably apart from even these issues of, you know, early miscarriages and what have you, you know, and taking some of these measures that you have already advised. So how about probably the men? Because a lot of times, a lot of people don't even look at the men. And it is the women that, oh, she's infertile. She's this, probably she was wayward and things like that. So what advice do you have for families probably undergoing this challenge? And it could actually be as a result of their ignorance of, you know, some of these things we have mentioned that is, you know, causing their infertility, and not necessarily that the woman is infertile.
Number one misconception on women having the problem is that when it is believed that there's infertility, inability to get pregnant, and the point accusing finger at the woman, you know, and it is a misconception, which the woman is just having early miscarriages. You know, those who are prone to or known to have infertility problem, you know, a lot of times are those who've had evacuations, DNCs, try to abort, and then the tubes get blocked, they have the wall of the uterus stick together, there's additions, you know, or the wall of the uterus cannot hold implantation, fertilized egg and all that. Our women are chaste women. So we should have that trust in them that if she's not getting pregnant, there must be a reason. That trust we must have with that trust that it is not most likely that she's not able to get pregnant.
Something must have been responsible.
Let's try to confirm from those who know better.
What is
are
cause?
There pregnancies or not? You know, what are those early signs of pregnancy? Let's check. If there are, then we free this woman from that stigma. and label that, oh, she may have had some,
wayward past
and all that, you know. Then the man himself can be responsible. Just like, you know, a lot of things can affect the man's fertility. The diet and the lifestyle, you know, can affect whether he's able to produce healthy sperm cells or not and all the rest of it. You understand? So it's possible that problem. That's why we advocate investigation of both. You know? And a lot of times when the woman is even having early miscarriages, the fault is indirectly from the man. If you don't allow this woman to rest, to have enough rest, you know, you're putting pressure on her, she'll be having early miscarriage, recurrent, repeated early miscarriages. You know, we've had cases that we place the woman on bed rest, but the husband will complain that she doesn't do this, she doesn't do that. So she's not able to fulfill the bed rest conditions.
Wow.
You know, and then the early miscarriages will continue to persist. But because very little stress, like very little activity is enough to bring down the pregnancy. So we need the cooperation of both partners. That's why when we're having the consultation, we insist that both partners must be present so that they can work hand in hand to get over this very early stage of pregnancy that is giving a lot of controversies.
All right. Now, probably let me chip this in again now. At what point, because we know some people are fatalists, and some, yeah, they feel it's an issue of faith. Maybe God has already destined that I'll be barren. Or maybe God has destined that I won't, have a child. At what point, or should we resign ourselves to fate?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people feel like, probably it's not there, so let me not even disturb myself. If God says I'll have a child, I'll have a child.
Yeah.
So where do we draw the line between probably taking the necessary precautions, having necessary knowledge, taking necessary medications, and probably even resigning ourselves to faith that probably God has destined that we won't have a child?
Yeah, it is very important, you know. Allah told us in the Quran that some women are created to have boys. Some girls, girls. Some boys and girls, and some are made barren. So the message in that verse is that seek which place you belong to. Don't be fatalistic. Say, since I'm not getting pregnant, then they've already said some people will be barren. Is that the only thing in the verse? The verse says some will have boys, some will have boys and girls. What are you not thinking of that for yourself and working towards it? Try to find out what is happening, you know. But what brings about this kind of fertility, state of mind, is frustration. People have gone around to seek help, medical help, and call from here and there. They still see the same problem persisting. And most likely, the reason is because they are not aware that the woman has been getting pregnant. Because the moment we're able to make a couple to understand and believe that this woman has been getting pregnant, half of their problem is solved. Because half of the problem, or more than half of the problem, is psychological. It has grown into their psyche that there's a problem. And sometimes when they give this treatment for that problem, the problem persists. So when they believe that, I don't even have an innate problem like that. So we just need to follow procedures, some instructions, and if we comply, we'll get results. So nobody should resign to fate and be fatalistic and say, well, since we have tried, there's no... One should be prayerful and one should still continue to make efforts, you know. And from the efforts, if you go to this place, you don't get result, seek another specialist, seek another doctor, you know, look for second opinions. You may eventually, and you yourself, you can also research into the topic.
All right.
And Allah will guide us.
Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much all for the insights that you have shared. And we appreciate all our listeners. And we also pray for all those who are having one issue or the other, especially suffering the challenge of infertility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you right and make you, you know, give you the fruit of the womb and, you know, make you have, you know, children of your own that you'd be happy with. Allahumma ameen. All right. This is
would like to appreciate all listeners, including those who try to call in, probably because of the network, we were unable to get some calls today. Thank you very much. And for those who also try to send the message, we appreciate your effort. I would like to congratulate, I want to use the opportunity to congratulate Hajia Rashida Kelani, one of the co-hosts of this program. And on the occasion of the Walimatul Quran of our kids holding today, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless their knowledge and make them useful for Islam and the entire humanity, and bless their parents abundantly. Barakallahu feehim. Jazakumullahu khairan. All right, so this note, I would like to inform our listeners that you can listen again to this episode or the previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on MPAC/NG.org. Scroll down and click on MPAC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. You can also follow Everyday Muslim on social media: Facebook Everyday Muslim, Everyday Space Muslim, and on Instagram Everyday Muslim 01. Just a single word like that, Everyday Muslim 01. Inshallah, Everyday Muslim will make its way back to your airwaves next week, same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7. I will thank Dr. Fadudin Olabisi Kekereokun for being our guest today. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much for coming.
Wa'alaikum.
All right. So, I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. See you next week, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا من صليت بكل الأنبياء، يا من في قلبك رحمة للناس، يا من ألفت قلوبا بالإسلام، يا حبيبي يا شافعي يا رسول الله، بأمي وأبي فديتك سيدي، صلاة وسلام عليك يا نبي. حبيبي يا محمد، أتيت بالسلام والهدى محمد. حبيبي يا محمد، يا رحمة للعالمين يا محمد. يا من حليت حياتنا بالإيمان، جمالك علمت الإحسان، يا من نورت قلوبنا بالقرآن، يا حبيبي يا شافعي يا رسول الله، بأمي وأبي فديتك سيدي، صلاة وسلام عليك يا نبي. حبيبي يا محمد، أتيت بالسلام والهدى محمد. حبيبي يا محمد، يا رحمة للعالمين يا محمد.
صلى الله على خاتم الأنبياء محمد، محمد
سلام.